We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Amen. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Tonight, the Lord's laid on my heart a title, Remember to Make Disciples. It's going to tie into communion. That was a great song, wasn't it? I owe all to you. I owe all to you. What a tremendous song. What a great song to send our kids. What a great evening to send our kids out tonight. I've got two teenagers that are going to be going out, and I'm thrilled to death with our youth pastor and our youth department and what God's doing through them, and I'm excited for them. Well, tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let me start with this. Again, remember to make disciples, and I want to draw this bridge for you, if I may. Beginning in verse 23, For I have received of the Lord that which I also received or delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Say the rest of this with me. This do in remembrance of me. Then we get to verse 25, and it says, After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you, as oft as you drink it, say it with me, in remembrance of me. It's in remembrance of him. I love this saying, and look at this with me. Someone wisely has wisely pointed out, I love this, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper is a symbol of what we should be doing all the time. It's not a memorial of one who is gone, but of one who is always here. Look at that. Read it again to yourself. Therefore, communion is a symbol of what we are currently doing. That's the bridge I want to draw tonight. It's a symbol of what Christ did, what he is doing, and what we are doing. It's a celebration of the one who is always present. I mean, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's good, isn't it? Amen. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. So the question is, what should we be doing all the time? Well, you can kind of see by the title, we're remembering, but we need to make disciples. So, you know, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 28. Because Jesus doesn't leave us guessing how we are to follow him, how we're to be living out the manifestation of our communion, Lord's table remembrance. Turn with me to Matthew again, 28, and we'll break it down. You know the passage, very familiar portion of Scripture, and we're going to look at this tonight. But there is a reason that Jesus came and gave his life. Yes, it's for us to have forgiveness. Yes, it's for us to have a relationship with him. He came and did what we couldn't do. But why? So that we could remain here and continue to bring him glory and continue to fulfill his purpose. And that is to bring people back to him, that they may remember and celebrate what Jesus did. So if you look at Matthew 28, you know the passage. Here's what it says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and earth. So all power. Verse 19, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. I think it's noteworthy that Matthew doesn't here record in his gospel the ascension of Jesus Christ. He doesn't lay that out for us because he wants something to linger on our minds. What he wants to linger are the very last words of what we call the Great Commission. He doesn't want anything to distract from what we are doing, why Jesus came, why he gave his life, what we do in remembrance of him. What did Jesus come to do? He came to give his life for us. Why? That we may live. And that we may share and proclaim the news of Jesus Christ throughout the nations.
Right? That's what we're called to do. We do that. Do this in remembrance of me. What are we remembering? That Jesus left all power and all authority, and he came in the flesh, and he lived a life as a servant. And he gave everything he had for the sake of his people. And then he tells us, now, remember me. Remember what I came to do. And you go and do likewise. He wanted these last words of Christ again to linger in our minds as he finished the gospel. It's tremendous. Jesus, he has a big task in mind for us. There's a reason that he's given us gifts and abilities to go and use them for people. But let me look at verse 18 again. I'm not going to read it. You can look at it. It's key because without Jesus' authority over all things, the mission of disciples, our mission today would be pointless, wouldn't it? So what does Matthew do? He reveals Christ's authority. And I'm just going to focus on what Matthew reveals about Christ's authority through his works. First of all, he has authority over nature. He can calm any storm, can he? He's in charge of all things. He can walk on water. He can manipulate anything he wants for his will. So as I follow Christ, anything he calls me to do, anything that stands in my way, he's in control. Nothing's too big for him. I mean, Matthew reveals Christ's authority over sin. Now, come on, people. You can get excited tonight because when you think about it, there is no sin too great that Jesus can't forgive it. Amen. If we go to him in this life and ask him to forgive it. Nothing. That's exciting. That's worthy of remembrance, isn't it? That's what we do. That's what we extend to others. I don't know about you, but tonight as we come together, we have to confess our sin. We have to acknowledge our sin to God, and we may need to even make something right with our fellow man because we have to be right with God and we have to be right with man, or we can't do this. And Jesus says, listen, remember. So over nature, over sin, how about over sickness? If he chooses, God can defy the doctors, can't he? Woo! He can defy the doctors. There's nothing too great for our God. I like this. Matthew reveals Christ's authority over evil. You know, when we claim Scripture, when we claim the name of Jesus Christ, there's nothing in our life that if we claim Christ and we tell that old devil, you got to go. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. He's got to flee. He's got to go. He's got to flee. And that is the power of Christ. That is the power of Christ in us. How about this? Over death. It cannot contain him. That's a hallelujah moment. Forget amen. Let's say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right? I am more than this body. When I die, I am going right into the presence of my God. Woo! That's worthy. And that's what we remember tonight. That's what he came to do. That's what he came to commission us to do. To be a light, to impart that to other people. That's what we remember as well, isn't it? Oh, that's tremendous stuff. See, without the Messiah's authority, the mission of disciples, our mission today, it'd be doomed to failure. We've got to operate out of the power and the authority of God in our life. We come tonight because God is living and active, isn't he? He's living and he's active and he's real. And the more time that I spend with him and the more I grow in his word, the more real he becomes to me and the more real he becomes to you. This isn't a fairy tale. This is the word of God. He is God. He sent his son. Everything that he has promised will come to fruition. Man, it's exciting. And listen to this. You think about Scripture and what God has commissioned and what we read. The central command of this great commission is fueled by our remembrance of the Lord's table. He was with God in the beginning. He knew what he would have to do. And we remember that Jesus did this for us, that his spirit might reside in us and that we might live this life and fulfill that which he has commissioned us to do. And even though we're sinners, he has still made a way. Woo, right?
He is still made a way.
Tremendous. At the heart of our mission is the reproduction of others of what Jesus Christ has produced in us. Well, what has he produced in us? Well, tonight, let's look at it. He's produced faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Faith. We come to him by faith. I can't prove to you that Jesus is coming again, but he's coming again, isn't he? And by faith, I believe that. And do you know what faith does? It produces in me, it produces in you, it produces in us obedience. That when I am obedient to God, his blessings pour down on me. When I am obedient to God, you know, there is a place, that's the place I want to be, is in obedience, following him. You know, Proverbs 16:3 in the King James Version tells us, if I may paraphrase, that when you're living right, when you are following God and you're obedient to his word, he literally controls your thought life. I want to have a right thought life in this world because there are a lot of things after my attention and my obedience. Faith, obedience. And you know what? When I'm faithful, when I'm obedient, that produces growth. That we're not the same as we used to be. We serve a living Savior. And as I grow in the Word, I'm not the same as I was a week ago or a year ago or 10 years ago, that I am growing in Christ by faith and obedience and growth. And when I operate in faith and obedience and I'm growing in Christ, you know what God does? He gives me authority. We have authority. That if God calls me to do something, I can tell Satan, you get away from me, and he's got to go. That if I pray for souls, that I pray for things that God wants me to pray for, if I act in obedience and follow those things which God has given me clarity to do in my life, if I operate within the unique giftedness that God has given me, I have his authority. I have his promise that there will be fruit, that I will have peace and that I will have joy in the midst of this turbulent life, and I can't get it any other way. So I have faith, I have obedience, I have growth, we have authority. And do you know what all that produces? It produces compassion. If you don't have compassion for souls, if you don't have compassion for people, do you know what you have? You don't have, there's obviously an authority problem, there's a growth problem, probably an obedience problem, and it goes all the way back to maybe a faith problem. Jesus came, what are we celebrating? Jesus gave his life. He gave his life for people. He gave his life for you and for me. He laid it down. He willingly went to the cross. Willingly is a key word, isn't it? He did that for you and for me, and that's what this is all about tonight. He would do that. And so in us, it produces compassion and love. And do you know what this all leads to? I want to tell you something tonight. This is what it leads to. You can't get around it, church. Boldness in our witness. Boldness in our witness. That's what it leads to. That we're bold. I want to tell people about Christ. I want to use what I have for the glory of Christ. So tonight we're going to look at a few things here in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And I know it's a familiar portion of Scripture, but I've been praying, and I even pray now that God will give you some freshness here. Now, there are three participles here that are subordinate to the central command to make disciples. Now, if you're like me, I love it when preachers define English words. Is anybody with me? Right? So I'm going to define what a participle is. Would you appreciate that? Because that's what I would want. All right, so here's what it is. A participle is a form of a verb, if you don't know what a verb is, I can't help you, that is used to indicate a past or present, okay? A past or present action that can also be used like an adjective. So each of these participles, what they do is they clarify the way in which Jesus' followers are to make disciples. So the first one is this. Everybody knows what it is? It's go. So let's say it together. Ready? Go. Now, this Greek participle is best translated and commonly translated. I think it's pretty well known now. When you have gone or while you are going. That's what it is. Going means crossing boundaries to make disciples. But it's not only going abroad.
Sometimes it's going across the street. Or not even across the street, just across the sidewalk to your neighbor. That's what it means to go. It may be going to dinner with an unbelieving friend. It may be going beyond one's comfort zone to make the gospel, here's the key word, accessible to the lost. Jesus made it accessible to us, didn't he? And we're to make it accessible to others. Going means living life with purpose. It means being intentional in our daily living. So would you repeat this word intentional? Ready? Intentional. Jesus was intentional, wasn't he? As I've already referenced, he was with the Father in the beginning. This wasn't an accident. That before he even created the world, he knew what he was going to have to do, and knowing what he was going to have to do and what he would have to endure for us to be restored back to himself, he willingly did it. And everything in his life was by design. It was by purpose. He thought it out, and he was intentional. And I think sometimes we as Christians, we and I'm not even going to get into all the reasons. There's lots of reasons and maybe lots of excuses, but I think we lack intention in our Christian life. We have one great goal. That's not just to have a holy huddle. One great goal is to do what Jesus did. Be a light. Be a disciple maker. And we need to be intentional about that. It doesn't just happen. You have not because you what? Yes, not. What are we praying for? What are we pursuing? Communion was a foregone conclusion. Again, before the foundation of the world, we are to go. We need to be intentional. Here's the second word. You know the word? Next participle is baptizing. Now, baptism identifies a new believer into the family of God. We get that. But I like this saying. Baptism is bringing those who identify with the world into a new identification. Praise the Lord for that. It's seeing themselves anew as citizens of God's kingdom, as children of God, as brothers and sisters of the Messiah, and as brothers and sisters with the rest of the family of believers. Check this out about this participle. It literally means to be continually immersing them. Now, I'm thankful that when we get in the baptismal tank, we don't not allow people to leave. No, you don't. No, you're getting back down. No, you're getting back down again. I'm going to continually immerse you. No, that's not what it means. But here's what it means. We know that baptism is the initial step, the first act of obedience, identifying with our body of believers and to those around us and those that we invite in. Well, I want you to know what Christ has done in me. I want to identify. That's great. But our immersion experience should never end. Our immersion experience should never end. We ourselves are to continually immerse ourselves in the scriptures. We immerse ourselves in prayer, and we immerse ourselves in our faithful Christ and in our gospel calling to invest our life into the lives of other people. Jesus came, gave his life, and invested himself in others. Look, read the scriptures. He was with the disciples, and he was with the masses, and he just poured himself in. But the heart of what he was doing was with 12 men that would go and reproduce and become what we read in scriptures, the foundation of the early church. They never ceased to grow and to meet together and to pray together and to fellowship together. They immerse themselves, and we must immerse ourselves continually into the fellowship of the body. Are you with me tonight? That's where it has to be. That's where it is. Our mission is to bring people to a point where they see themselves differently. That's where it's at. Because they have become different through the transforming work of God's grace. So you see, when it comes to baptism and baptizing, it's not just for me. As I immerse myself, I am seeking to immerse others. If I'm a thorn in somebody's flesh because I'm preaching Christ, so be it. I'm not ashamed of that, neither should you be. We do everything in love, though. Someone needs to hear that tonight. I'm positive of that. And then let's move on to this third participle. Here's what it is. It's teaching. Teacher or teaching.
Now, teaching, as we see in verse 20, is a present participle, meaning keep on teaching them. Right? Why do we come back? You're coming back for more because you need to hear it again, don't you? We've got to keep on teaching. But if you're coming back for more, hey now, church, you better be giving that to somebody else too. Right? I mean, if you're growing and you're immersing yourselves in the scriptures, you better keep baptizing and immersing someone else. Share what you've learned. I remember when I first got saved. How many of you, when you first got saved, you took everything you learned and you just wanted to go tell somebody? Can anybody raise their hand? Honestly. How many of you? That's not a lot of hands. You got your work cut out, Pastor. I see what's going on here. How many of you wish, I wish I could go back and undo some of the things I said because I was so excited. I was a little overzealous. Anybody? Like, I was so zealous. I tackled all this stuff. You know what? You know, love covers a multitude of sins. I think you were doing it in love. What happened to that? What happened to that? What happened to that passion and that zeal to take what we've learned, just want to go tell people? Well, that's one reason we remember. To remember what Christ did. To get back to our first love. To remember that I remember what he's done. And it isn't just, he's saying in remembrance of me. So what I'm remembering the entirety of Christ's life. And we have the benefit of having completed scriptures. And as I remember the totality of Christ's life and what he did, he just gave himself to people. And that is exactly what he's commissioned you and I to do. To take what we've learned and just give it to people and to prayerfully and tactfully find ways to be Christ. And I go back to that word intentional because it doesn't happen by accident. You can't just sit in your house and say, Lord, just give me an opportunity. I just can't wait for an opportunity. God's like, I'll give you an opportunity, but get up and go do something. Think it through. God's given us common sense. For me with my neighbors, it was just introducing myself. And mowing the yard for them. It's getting hot, so I don't know if I want to do that anymore. My motivation's wrong then, I guess. Now listen, do you see what's happening here? We go back to the participle, it means, to baptize, it means keep on immersing them. We get to this present one teaching, it's keep on teaching them. This represents the other half of our mission. The edification and the building up of believers. Jesus instructed us not only to teach content, but to train people into obedient action, teaching them to keep everything I have commanded you. Genuine discipleship is actualized in life-on-life living of the gospel. It's great to come together like this, but the life-on-life application that Jesus did with 12 happens outside of this building. And we're here to equip you. We remember that. We remember that. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper is a symbol of what we should be carrying out while we live here on earth. That's our mission. That's our one calling. The reality is, you know, we're to be pouring ourselves into the lives of others. We should have people pouring into us passionately and pursuing us and holding us accountable. And if not, if we're not, church, I want to say this. If we ourselves don't have people that we are passionately pursuing to share the gospel with, I believe tonight, if I may say this, need to ask for God's forgiveness and say, God, help me to be intentional. Forgive me, Lord, for being selfish. Forgive me, Lord, for seeing everything as me. As appreciating the beauty of our church, the hard work of the pastors, the hard work of all the lay leaders who make this a pleasant place to come. It's professional, it's organized, everything's well done. There's air conditioning, praise God. And we can all come and enjoy that, but at the end of the day, there's one reason we're doing it. We're doing it so that we might encourage you, that we may uplift you, that we may invest into you, that you might go out and be light in the community. There ought to, every single one of us, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I have no doubt in my mind that God has put people in your path and that he's going to hold you accountable for as he's holding me accountable for. And God forgive me for the times I've let him down. But you know what? I love that quote this morning. We don't have to be perfect. We're even going to fail from time to time. But God, we can still be right with the Lord as we pursue him. Maybe you need to ask God for forgiveness, and you need to say, listen, Lord, who is it you've put in my path? Well, why do I live where I live? Is it by accident? Absolutely not. Why do I work where I work? I'd rather work somewhere else. Not me. I'm not saying that about me, okay? No, it's not. It's not by accident. There are people in your life that God is saying, be intentional and remember what I have done for you and pray for them and go after them. You know, communion isn't just a celebration of what took place 2,000 years ago. It's a celebration of what's taking place today. I want to share an illustration with you, and this could be risky, so you got to hear me out, okay? There was a time in my life I grew up in a brethren church. They had a whole other ordinance, foot washing. I even remember my pastor telling me, it's not really something you have to do because I don't know that you can support it in Scripture, but it's something that we choose to do. Reverend Immel told me that. So I remember before, you know, coming to communion, I remember as a kid we went into a separate room that all the men would go one area and all the women would go another, and they'd mix up the tables, and I had to wash feet. Now, as a young man, I remember seeing some old, crusty feet. But as I was driving in, I thought of this illustration, and I said, Lord, I need to share it. I'm not going to be ashamed of my past. I remember a man bending down and washing a man's feet. And I think of this. He just began to weep. And as he wept, he got up and he washed his feet. And the tradition is you wash feet and you get up and you take your towel and you place it around the brother. It goes like this. And you place it around and then you embrace one another and you say, I love you, brother. And he began to weep and began to share how he had thought evil thoughts about him, and I don't remember all the conversation. I just know he was asking for forgiveness. He said, forgive me for what I've done. And I thought, man, if that isn't a representation of what this is all about, I don't know what is, right? And in my life, I know that there's times I've let the Lord down, but I get so distracted, as maybe as you do, of what our life is and what meaning of life's all about. I am here to bring glory to God, and I bring glory to God best when I invest myself into the lives of other people. It's not about me, it's about others. God gave me gifts not for me, but for you. And that's what we need to be about. And we need to be intentional about it. The reflection we need to enter into before we take of these elements must be a consideration of how well we are engaged in the Lord's final words to the saints. That's what it's all about. He gave his life. He allowed his body to be broken and beaten and bruised, and he shed his blood so that we could have fellowship with him in heaven. And he beseeched his disciples, go and make disciples. Let people see me in you and let others be restored into the fellowship of the kingdom. I have given you gifts to help you do just that.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.